Welcome to the Qualcomm Podcast. From 5G and AI to XR and IoT, Qualcomm is creating the newest technologies to transform lives and industries across the globe. I'll be taking you behind the scenes with the inventors and experts bringing the technology to life so you can hear all about the most exciting evolutions in tech right from the source. I'm PJ, and thanks for listening. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Today, we're going to have an awesome episode. We're going to be talking about wearables and how they are helping us through this current climate. They're helping us stay healthy. They're helping us stay connected. And we've got a really special moment. At the end, we're going to talk about a real big goodie. It's a new platform. We're going to tell you all about it. It's the Qualcomm Snapdragon Wear 4100 Plus. We have Matthew DeHammer. He's product marketing for wearables at Qualcomm. And we have Carolina Milanese, who's our tech analyst at Creative Strategies and the founder of The Heart of Tech.
Thank you for having me. I'm always been passionate about wearables and the opportunity that they have in the market.
Now, Matt is the OG of wearables inside of Qualcomm.
No, I do actually consider myself the OG because I've been with Qualcomm for 7 years now, and I've only really ever worked on wearables. So I'm like the first and only, to my knowledge, product marketing person in wearables at Qualcomm. So I like to think that I'm an expert and I have a unique perspective and can kind of understand what's going on there. And obviously have insight into what we're doing in the future. So happy to be here and to talk about that stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were the first when we launched Qualcomm Talk, which was Qualcomm's first wearable. And then you were there when we created our first platform. And can you walk me through real fast just the generations we have so far?
I'll give you the quick synopsis. So yeah, Qualcomm is not typically somebody that commercializes or sells devices directly to end consumers, but we kind of went out on a limb and we created a smartwatch and we sold it for a little bit. But really it was a way to kind of stimulate the market to get people to think about what technology could do and what could be done. And then a year later, that's actually when Google first introduced Android Wear. And then we got, you know, smartphone makers and watch makers, people coming into the market, and then we can kind of step back and we don't need to build products. We can build the underlying technologies that work in them. So from there, we've had like three generations of smartwatch platforms now. We work with, you know, major brands from like, you know, Fossil and Mont Blanc, Louis Vuitton, to your traditional watch guys like Motorola, Xiaomi, Oppo. So yeah, there's lots of really exciting stuff going on in wearables right now.
That's awesome. But hey, we thought about wearables in one way before the pandemic began. And now I think, Carolina, I mean, I think wearables are being looked at as something we can use as a tool to you know, monitor and help stay keep people healthy.
Yeah, I think what you've seen over the years, if you follow the market, you know, from the very beginning, and I still have your watch, by the way, that you launched in 2017. So,
The Qualcomm Talk.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From where we started, which was not just that people were expecting the same amount of volume, but they also assumed that what we were going to do with wearable was the same thing that we were doing with phones, right? So at the beginning, it was trying to replicate what the phone did on a smaller form factor that you always had with you. And then over time, that idea from the major vendors changed, and you started to go from, okay, it's basically like a phone, to then it's not, it's a piece of jewelry, to then is actually maybe you don't want all the apps. And I think we finally now landed, and I would say it's probably been over the past 12 to 18 months, really where I think the true value of wearable is coming out, which is it is still an accessory, and I really would like to see that move into a device in its own right. The other part that is maybe not appreciated as much, which is what is coming out more and more during the pandemic and the future opportunity, is the sensors that we have on these devices that are collecting data and information that then can be used by applications to help us be healthier, be more, you know, mindful and check our stress level, check the environment that we're in from a noise perspective as an example. So I think there's a lot that is already being done today as far as helping people who don't have access to the gyms and the, you know, their trainers and all of that as they normally do, because we're all stuck at home, to try and keep us more accountable to be fit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually I want to echo that, because what we like to say internally is that the wearables, or the smartwatch more specifically, is kind of the one of maybe the most personal device that you own.
Because absolutely.
If you think about it, it's the one that's intimately touching your body. You know, you always have it on, and it's collecting, like Carolina was saying, it's collecting my heart rate data. It knows when I'm exercising. It knows when I'm perhaps asleep, which is all really valuable information right now. But if you start telling people like, hey, this fundamentally can help society like at large, or yourself, to stay more healthy and things like that, I think it's a lot more compelling. And that's really what I'm excited about.
100%. You know, to that point, you're right. Like, I remember my first memories of just being like, hey, this is a fast way to see notifications. But now, you know, we hear, you know, popular words and terminology like contact tracing.
And I think there are other use cases even now, if you're thinking about limiting the amount of contacts that you have, actually you touching surfaces, where the wearables come into play. And in the US, we don't have contactless payment from a credit card perspective as widespread as other regions. So wearables is where we're going first, because that's been deployed first. So it is interesting how there are these use cases that maybe in a given moment you don't pay attention to, or you started to take for granted, and then, you know, during COVID you're a bit more aware of the different ways that wearable actually help you, as we start to also think about what the office or a school is going to look like going forward. Obviously, the distancing is something that is going to remain for a long time. But if you're a manufacturing company, right, people have to be in the factory, and they need to continue with production. And so if you're thinking about how can you monitor that people keep that distance, that's when sensors come in. I think there's more, and again, to your point about not touching surfaces, you know, think about using a wearable instead of a badge to get into your office, in and out, you know, pay at the cafeteria and so forth. So I think there are definitely more use cases, and I hope that we'll see more and more, so people become comfortable with the idea of contact tracing. You know, there's been a lot of talk around privacy and concerns that people might have. And I hope that ultimately people will see that this is because we are all in, and we all face with the same challenge. And the more that we're able to track and trace, the lower risk that we will go back to a situation we were in before lockdown.
Definitely. Yeah, I think I think for sure people are, you know, rethinking, you know, everything. And I think the other things that we won't be visiting for a prior while is gyms. So I think people are going to be, you know, outside also, you know, looking for different ways to get their exercise in. And I think you got to be thinking about a wearable. If you're going to be exercising outdoors. It's like, you know, all the tech is just built into it now that they can help you with your routine.
Totally. I mean, I think a wearable is like the ideal device in that sense, because, you know, why do people exercise, right? You want to be healthy, you know, you want some motivation. And then there's that segment of people that thrive on data, right? Am I faster than I was yesterday? Am I stronger? Am I doing things correctly? Like, yes, you could go to a gym and you could do organized classes or use, you know, expensive machines, but again, that's a social environment. There's multiple people using that. You know, with a wearable, you can get a lot of that same experience kind of, you know, in your own environment at home, you know, at the park, away from people. And you've kind of got like a personal trainer on your wrist with a wearable. It's all built in. You have all the sensors. There's GPS, so you know how far you've gone. You know your heart rate, your recovery time, you know, and it's not just running. It's swimming, biking, yoga, you know, mountain climbing, you know, rollerblading. It's like the wearables now can track, you know, all sorts of exercises.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been using Google Fit on my wearable to track my stationary bike riding, and it's just awesome the way it does the heart rate monitoring. And even when I take like a walk, it's great to just have that log of information because it challenges you, and it also, you know, motivates you. Frankly, it motivates me because it's fun. I enjoy just seeing it and having, you know, a little toy to help me, you know, motivate and get out there and have some fun like that. But
I think what has been also interesting, aside from the workout part of it, is really how companies have been pushing more to use data to really paint a wellness picture of yourself, right?
Yeah,
and so for me, you know, something else that I mostly because I want to know that the way I feel and the way I look is as bad as the poor night of sleep that I had. So tracking sleeping, something that I do on a regular basis, and being able to see, you know, how deep my sleep was, how many times I woke up and so forth. Something else that I think is also important, especially under the current circumstances and the stress, the mental stress that we have, is really being more mindful of, you know, it's not just about going out and running, but taking breaks. And we spending so much time sitting at a desk, you know, in a Zoom call or a Teams call, being able to get up and take a break and, you know, breathe. And, you know, I think overall, I love the change in attitude generally from let's count your steps to actually know is more complex than this. And the wearable allows you to take in, to Matt's point, all the data that you need to have a better picture of how healthy you are.
And it's so interesting how you can also take care of other people's health, and how, you know, children and the elderly, there's tons of products that can help stay in touch with them and keep an eye on them. And Matt, you were explaining to me some of these products that are just designed specifically just for children to help communicate with them.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a growing trend of smartwatches for children. I'd say, you know, right now with schools closed and the children home, perhaps maybe not as important of an impulse buy for parents. But, you know, come September when schools hopefully will start reopening, there's a tendency of, well, there's not a tendency. I'm a parent, like I have two small children. Like when they go to school, you want that sense of, I still want to be connected. I want to know if something's wrong. I want to know if they're okay. But my children are young. How do I stay connected and communicate with my child without giving them a full phone? And a smartwatch, a connected smartwatch, is a great way to do that, because it allows me to, as the parent, limit who they're able to talk to. I can see their location. If there's an emergency, they can push a button and I can be notified of where they are and talk to them. But the interesting thing is, aside from kids, is that that is now extending to kind of seniors. So right now, like, we're social distance. Like, my mom is what you would consider in a high-risk category. She's older, she has some underlying health conditions. You know, I'm not supposed to just go over there and hang out with her and check on her. So how do I make sure she's okay? I can give her a wearable that's designed for a senior. Again, it's strapped on her wrist. If she were to fall or something to happen, she could get in contact with me.
Well, yeah, and Matt, I think you were showing me the child one in China. What was the name of that one?
We work with a company in China, BBK. They're the number one seller of kids watches around the world, you know, specifically in the China region because it's so huge. But they have a 4G connected kids watch that actually has two cameras on it. So the child can two-way video calls with their parents. The watch actually kind of flips up. It's kind of hard to articulate, but if you go to our website, you can see it. But they can actually point the wearable at an object and it will tell them what they're looking at. If they point it at some text, they can do English to Chinese real-time text translation. And, I mean, like the same kind of underlying processing power that we put in kind of a mid-tier smartphone these days is basically the equivalent of what's in a smartwatch. They're very powerful.
And, you know, it's incredible everything that both of you have mentioned that's available on the market now. But we also do this podcast so we can give the listeners a taste of what's coming. So drum roll, my favorite part of the show, announcing new products. Matt, can you please tell us about what's next in wearables from Qualcomm?
Yes. So we just announced the Snapdragon Wear 4100 Plus platform. So that's our new kind of flagship platform that you'll see kind of across all wearable categories. That will be luxury devices, that will be, you know, everyday sports devices, and that will also be devices for kids and seniors as well. What we want people to do is, like, when you get a wearable, we want, you know, we want your apps to load fast. We want, when you're navigating and scrolling through your menus and your, you know, the whole user experience, you want that to be very fluid. If you are doing something like doing, maybe you're doing a voice call on your wearable, but you're also want to activate your voice assistant, or you're doing GPS directions, but you're also doing some fitness tracking, stuff like that. So we've increased the memory. So there's like there's some pretty significant upgrades that we've done to give people enhanced performance.
Matt, we've got this new platform, the 4100 Plus. Any customers yet?
Yeah, we actually, I mean, we have tons of customers and we have lots of exciting things, you know, coming in the pipeline. We talked about BBK a little bit earlier. So BBK will be launching their next generation kids watch in the China market. They're the ones that do amazing things with, you know, cameras, unique form factors, you know, always connected watches for kids. So they've got a really exciting product coming out using the 4100 platform. And then the second company we've announced with is Movoy, who's a smartwatch brand. Actually, they do smartwatches as well as earbuds and other really amazing products. They've announced that their next generation Wear OS smartwatch we'll be using the Snapdragon Wear 4100 platform, and that will be a connected watch as well. So that's more targeted for adults, where, you know, BBK will address the kind of kids market. Movoy will be your Wear OS smartwatch for adults.
I always love to see a platform continue to evolve and providing a better user experience. At the end of the day, that's where my passion sits, is really what consumers and users are going to get out of it. So that it sounds silly, but the amount of colors that now the platform can support is not just about making beautiful devices. These things are on our wrists. We want them to be looking good, right?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
part of what we do. But it's also about allowing brands to make them unique and representative of the brand image that they have. So it's not just like the more colors, the better. There's really, right, you know, a real impact on the device.
Definitely. To be able to see and feel the brand, you need this
absolutely
larger color palette. And it's part of, frankly, just the human experience.
And at the same time, a way for the user to express themselves, right? Because as you pick your bands that a lot of people spend money and care of, and they change them. I have my bands match my nail polish. you also
absolutely
want to have different faces depending on what you're doing. If you're working out, or if it's the weekend versus the week when you maybe want to keep an eye on your calendar. So there's so much finesse that can go into that experience.
100%. These aren't cold pieces of steel. These are personal items that you want to express you. And to your point, I've got tons of cases for my smartphones. I have different bands for my smartwatch. This is life. We have to have fun, and it's beautiful. Well, all right. Thank both of you, Carolina and Matt. Carolina, we'll check out your site, Creative Strategies and the Heart of Tech, and we'll look for your work there. And check out qualcomm.com/wearables for everything that Matt's been working on. We thank both of you two for coming in and for giving your perspective, your tips, your things that people should be looking at. And Matt, you're just giving us all the goodies on the 4100 Plus. So audience, thanks for listening. And Carolina, anywhere else we should look for your work?
You can find me on Twitter, where you find thoughts on tech and pictures of puppies and cats at Caro, Caro _ Milanesi, Milanesi.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. We'll see you. We'll find your work there. And audience, thanks for joining, and we'll see everyone again soon. Thanks for listening to the Qualcomm Podcast. If you haven't already subscribed, you can do so via SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast. And by the way, Our friends at Legal really want you to know that references to Qualcomm may be Qualcomm Incorporated, Qualcomm Technologies Inc., and or its subsidiaries. Qualcomm Snapdragon is a product of Qualcomm Technologies Incorporated. Until next time.